Just make sure you talk in the microphone.
Yeah.
Sit up straight. Do you have any magic tricks or anything?
No. I don't have any Oh, I can tie a cherry stem with my tongue. A knot.
Jeff, go to the kitchen and get a cherry stem.
Mercy on us.
Did I screw that up?
And you can get Listen Up for only
$14.99. So we're great. Today on Pod Have Mercy, of course, Matt and I are joined by Suzanne Harder, who's over our serving ministries here at Chapwood and does a wonderful job in connecting just the community, global, national. And Donna Watkins, you are just the jack of all trades. Or
wonderful.
Jacqueline of all trades. Trying to figure out how to, but involved in so much stuff. But you've been so close to communities and schools, which is a great partner for us. And today I wanted to talk a little bit about something that we do here, and some other churches do similar things. But we are on the Christmas season, and we do something here called Christmas Manna at the church. We've done it every year, and it's where families here at the church can adopt families in the community that have needs to make sure that there's a Christmas happening in their household. And so, Suzanne, why don't you start a little bit, just like, what is Christmas Manna, and what is it, how does it work? And then I want to talk about Communities and Schools was one of the original partners that we worked with on this to get the names of the families. And we'll talk a little bit about how that goes about, too. But
Well, actually, I did some research since it is our 75th anniversary. So I wanted to figure out how many years Christmas Manna had been going on. And it actually took a little bit of digging and came back to, it's been going on 35 years.
Wow.
And Kelly Williams was giving away money. As surprise, surprise.
He's good at that.
And so he had someone in the congregation said that, you know, I had been a school teacher for 7 years in Spring Branch, and I think that there would be children and families there that we could directly support. And they put together a committee. And the next year they started Christmas Manna. And from what it looks like, it is happening the same way, you know, then as it is now, which is that we actually contact Community and Schools. Community and Schools is in 37 schools in Spring Branch ISD. There's 55 supports. There's called support specialists and support managers, student support managers, and they are the ones that select the families, because they're the ones that are working side by side with these families and helping them during the whole school year. So each of these schools gets about 5 or 6 families that they can select, that we then get that information, you know, the children's clothes sizes, what their, you know, gift ideas that they want. And so every year, you know, now that my kids are older, I learn more about pop culture and what toys are popular, as well as any other family needs, you know, such as, you know, blankets or cooktops or cookwares and stuff like that. And then we put together that whole list with 150 families, and it's published online on our website. And then people can come into the parlor on Sundays and they can review the list. Lots of families select, look at the demographics of the family, what the age of the kids are, and sponsor families that are have kids the same age. So it's been a great program for 35 years.
Yeah, you can pick a family with one kid or two kids or five kids.
Yeah.
Or multiple families.
That's amazing.
It's you know, a lot of churches have done things like this. Some church I was in previously had something like Angel Tree type deal. Similar deal where you adopt a family and you take an ornament off the tree, has a list of things that you go, that you do. How many families, Suzanne, typically on an average year, just rough, more or less, are we working with?
We're working with 150 families that we go ahead and sponsor. One of the great changes we made 3 years ago is Generations, because my Spanish is really bad, so you can...
Generaciones.
Thank you.
That's very good. You did perfect.
They usually support about 25 families, about 90 kids, because we have so many generous supporters of Christmas Manna that give funds to us. But
they don't actually are able to go out and do the shopping.
They can't do the shopping.
Delivery.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Mm. So I go ahead and select about 25 Spanish-speaking families, and then they go out and do all the shopping and deliver the gifts, and you know, invite the folks to church on Sunday. And they have gotten some people very interested and new church members by doing that. So that's been a really exciting addition, that this will this will be our third year to do that. But
I do remember years ago I delivered gifts that we had sponsored a family and got to the door and they spoke no English. And this is where my
Your Spanglish
six, seven, 8 years
in.
of Spanish, which is now officially Spanglish, un poquito, came in handy where I can at least say regalos, gifts we bring. And so they were very grateful. But then they want to invite you in and they want to talk to you. And I'm like, I can't talk to you. I don't know what we're saying.
So here's my favorite story. So we've done, my family personally has done Christmas Manna since my kids were little. And so one year, this is probably like the fourth or fifth year we've done it. And we always go and we do have pizza and ice cream. And I always get one small gift that they open while my kids are there, that's something they can play with right there.
Cool.
So like if it's like an 8-year-old girl, I'll get some, you know, markers and like a, you know, black velvet painting that the girls can color, or, you know, Hot Wheels race cars where they can put together the tracks. And so the kids are all sitting there playing and the mom is over here on the couch, like not interacting with him, but she only speaks Spanish. The dad actually spoke some English and she's over there and she's got a book. And she's over there, and she finally hands me this note, and Dad tells me, oh, she's been in ESL classes. Yeah, you know, she's writing a note. So what she was doing was looking up the Spanish words, and she wrote a note that said, I always cry when I say this, when I see my children this happy, this is what makes me happy. And I still have note to this day that, you know, that she was
and she
over
was translating in real time.
Yeah, so she was sitting there looking up word by word to hand me this note. And no, I don't speak a word of Spanish either. And so when I got that note that she had worked so hard to write, I thought that was really
That's amazing. So if you're new to Manna Families and you want to adopt a Manna Family, so what would be the process from start to finish if you wanted to, because you have interaction with the families, you buy gifts. So how does that work if you're new?
So once you select the family, and you can either do that online or in the parlor on Sunday mornings, and then you get a Manna bag, and inside the Manna bag there is specific written instructions that can help you with that process, as well as gift ideas and all the information about the family. So you contact the family and double check to make sure the sizes are correct, the ages are correct of the kids, because sometimes again, things can get lost in translation. And then you set up a time of when you're actually going to deliver the gifts. And we ask the families whether they want the parents, if they want the gifts to come from the parents, or if it's okay for us to give the presents from them. Because some families want that to be seen as from them. And so we have no issue with that. I have, in almost all my years, they're like, oh, no, we want you to give the presents to our children. We want our children to see that. So that's fine. So once that's been decided, and then you kind of pick that day and time that you're going to go to their house or apartment, then you go out shopping. And I always took all my kids and said, okay, you're 6 years old, it's another 6-year-old little boy, what do you think? And so get all that, and then wrap all the presents, and then show up at that date and time. And sometimes it's just handing things over, saying thank you very much and walking away. But then others, sometimes they've cooked. I've had menudo, et cetera. That they've cooked a whole meal for you without, you know, not knowing ahead of time. You know, as I said, I always say, oh, I'm going to bring, you know, pizza and ice cream and for y'all, but they'll have cooked also. And so, so it's always been a little party that we've been able to have when we do that. And then, you know, saying goodbye and thank you, and you know, the people are just so grateful. That's and great. Just really appreciative of the program and what we're able to do.
And even for families that are not here locally at Chapelwood or in Houston, maybe listening, and they'd say, hey, I'd like to be a part of this. Mm-hmm. You could financially donate.
That's
like
right.
Like we said, for example, Generaciones, and then we are able to purchase the gifts for families in one of our other campuses to that take and deliver to these families as well. So it's not just you have to be here to do it and deliver it. You certainly can.
Right.
But there's other ways to support it. And financially is another way. I want to be a part of that. I want to sponsor a family as well. Donna, you were going to say something.
I was going to say that happened to me when I did manna when my kids were young, and we would do the shopping, and then we showed up and the table was set, major dinner. They wanted us to sit down, and we did, and we had dinner. It was wonderful. It's a really neat time of fellowship, and that you feel like your family by the time you leave.
Yeah.
Right, because even if the family speaks Spanish, lots of times the kids speak English.
The kids do,
so the kids can interact, and, you know, as adults do all the time, just watching your kids play and enjoying watching the kids having a good time.
Yeah.
So one of the things I wanted to talk about too, Donna, you have been involved for a lot of years with Communities and Schools,
CIS.
And Chapelwood has been a partner with Communities and Schools, CIS, for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Tell people what Communities and Schools is, what they do, and then I also want to talk about the connection with this particular project, but there's a lot more going on during the year than just Christmas manna.
Right, absolutely. Well, I've been with CIS 22 years, which is like amazing. It's turned into my life's work, which I just love. And CIS keeps kids in school. And whatever it takes, if they need a pair of tennis shoes or a winter coat, they need food to eat, they need someone to talk to, they don't have a place to spend the night tonight, and I'm pregnant and been kicked out of my house, or I'm depressed and thinking about taking my life. Whatever the issues are, CIS has a social worker or a student support specialist on the campus full time, every day, all day, when the kids are there. And so that person is in room 123 the whole time, and with an open door policy that students can walk in the door when they need help, and so can the parents. And I think that's the reason that it works, that we do, you know, as well as we do in helping folks, is because we're there full time. And we, a lot of great agencies are out there doing really good work, but they may send a case manager for 12 schools in a month. So it really helps that we're there full time, and we really build relationships with the students and their families. And so we facilitate support groups. We do one-on-one counseling. We do a lot of basic needs, pay electric bills, pay rent for the month, try to help parents get jobs. And we have a huge mental health program where we hire more and more mental health professionals to serve as our folks on campus and facilitate support groups for grief and loss and depression. And
I mean, the stories through the years that I remember with CIS are just so powerful. I remember during Hurricane Harvey, and so many apartment complexes were flooded. And you've got, I mean, I don't know the nice way to say it, but the owners might be in Chicago or Los Angeles or New York. They just own it as an investment, and someone's managing it, and they don't fix it. So it's flooded, there's mold in the walls and everything. They don't remediate it, and these families don't have any power, if you will, to like do anything about it.
That's right.
And so we find out from one of the kids in schools, like, hey, we have mold in our house. And then we set free people like these wonderful advocates like Allison Gower and others who hear about that.
Let's go.
We're going to the apartment manager. We're going to say, hey, we know the legal rights. We have lawyers. We have the city. This has to be remediated.
That's right.
Families can't live in this thing. So advocacy is a big part.
Big part.
I remember stories of a you know, kids showing up. And like, so you think about it, I mean, your teacher, it's one thing to, for a kid to come and say to their teacher, hey, I have this issue. Teacher's like, well, I don't know how to help you unless they have some unique resource. So
that's right.
Communities and schools is in each school. There's a resource officer or a counselor there. And the teachers now can send them to this person. And like, I remember a story where, you know, there's a kid, it's like, I got nowhere to spend the night. Mm-hmm. And I remember another kid saying, my parents are going to be deported. Mm-hmm. You know, they were born here, but their parents are going to be deported.
That's right.
And you're like, I mean, these are the stories really happening in our neighborhood.
That's right.
In real time. And you're like, okay. And people can think whatever on, you know, the political spectrum you want, like, oh, they're here illegally, they should be deported. Like, there's a kid who's born here as an American citizen, right? And your parents are fixing to get sent back to some country wherever that you don't know. Mm-hmm. So what happens now? Mm-hmm. So that's right. Real stuff.
It's
so
huge.
That CIS person is on that campus and will not leave that child until that child's in a great home somewhere. Mm-hmm. You know.
My introduction to CIS was through a kid named LeJean DeSilva.
Right.
And we had interaction with him through Iconoclast. And his CIS counselor, basically this kid was homeless for a couple years because his mother had died and his father was in prison. Mm-hmm. And he figured out if he was going to eat, he'd have to keep going to school. You know, he'd
free breakfast, free lunch.
He'd get a meal there. And then he was on the wrestling team. And it was the CIS counselor really that became, I think, Jesus with skin on her that just befriended and would not let him go. And he wasn't being honest at all about being homeless. He was really cagey around adults. And she continued just to love him until he broke open. And now... he's graduated from college now, but I thought, man, what y'all are doing, and that's one story that happens over and over and over again.
It all does. The time. Yeah. It does.
Yeah.
You know, it just takes one person. And the research backs that up. It just takes one caring, healthy adult to care.
Yeah.
And it doesn't take rocket science. It just takes somebody to give a hoot.
That's right.
And somebody to really care and walk you down a path you may be unfamiliar with, and know that I'm going to be with you until we see this through. Yeah.
One of the things I love about like the serving ministry at Chapwood and CIS is it feels like it's like this like match made in the kingdom of God. You know what I mean? Because there's like resources and your vision about like connecting with kids on the margin and making sure that families are loved in our neighborhoods and what y'all are doing. Like we can't, you know, as a church be in the schools, but it feels like that we can partner with folks that are on the front lines.
Well, CIS couldn't do without Chapelwood and without partners like you. I mean, we are there to see it through, but it takes partners that we partner with throughout the community to help, you know, bring resources to these families and to these kids. And Chapelwood, well, way even before I was CIS, I used to mentor at Memorial High School for the old SAP student assistance program. And we'd run into kids who didn't have clothes, you know.
Yeah.
He had lost a mom. No one knew he had lost his mom. He was living alone until the rent found, you know, they found out and he couldn't pay the rent. And we always called on Chapelwood and said, can you help? Can you help? A Chapelwood member bought him a car, brought him a car. And then we had to get him a license and insurance. I mean, it's amazing. But, you know,
you have to raise the kid. You know?
Yeah, you know, there's always one more thing. And that's wonderful. I mean, Chapelwood has helped. We're in 37 schools, like you said. And we know that we can call you for help with food and clothing and emergency needs when we have to have them.
But I always say that we're a three-legged stool, you know, Spring Branch ISD, CIS, and Chapelwood, that all three, that the, you know, the school district itself is so willing to partner with outside agencies where we know other school districts aren't like that. And so because they're so open to having partners, and then Chapelwood, we can't be in the schools like this. So yes, we have these, you know, it's actually 55 CIS employees in the schools that are able to be there because, you know, we have other programs, our Reading Buddy program. We couldn't run our Reading Buddy program. You know, we're tutoring over 50 second graders at Spring Branch Elementary, but that program is run by the student support manager at Spring Branch. Because there's not the reading specialist or the assistant principal doesn't have time to run that program. Mm. So again, even something like that falls on CIS's shoulders to be able to run that program, you know, which is so exciting, as well as they're the ones that run the mentoring programs at all of the schools in Spring Branch as well. So there's just, you know, there's so the, you know, when you say wraparound service, I mean, it's just
a wraparound.
It's,
yeah,
you know, everything that is happening.
Can you talk a little bit about the in year-round manna, because that's kind of the one of those things that's kind of an offshoot of
you know,
Christmas manna.
I was going to say that at some point. It's like sometimes people say, well, you just do this thing at the Christmas.
Right.
You know, what about the rest of the year? Mm-hmm. And not only are you talking about reading, mentoring, you know, we've done SWAP through the years or Collegiate Challenge during the years where we're working all year-round with serving with these kids who come from CIS, but also year-round manna. If there's needs, not just at Christmas,
but
there
year-round.
Could be need anytime.
Yeah.
That's why it's called year-round manna.
Look at that, John.
Yeah, so it is an offshoot of Christmas manna. Yeah, and it's probably been around about 25, 28 years, because that was, people came back from visiting the family at Christmas and said, oh my gosh, I see all these other needs that are out there. And so now with year-round manna, the community and schools student support manager is there, you know, yeah, boots on the ground, seeing with these issues that the, you know, the families know they can go to that person and say, hey, you know, I haven't been able to pay my rent this month, my car is broke down, you know, whatever that might be that is happening, that is more of a one-time thing, that we would be able to help them quite quickly. And you know, I can tell you, CIS loves Chapelwood because we can you know, write the check right away, thanks to our volunteer Betty Ann Taylor, that you know, we actually reimburse her. So she once she does her home visit and you know feels comfortable, you know, the check's written that day, and then you know, and then Chapelwood will reimburse her, you know, at a later date. So it can be very, very timely when it's needed.
Yeah, I think about that program during COVID as well, and how really in so many ways the connection between CIS and Chapelwood kept families in homes, and the way that y'all coordinated that, you know, I was just tangentially on the edge of watching all that activity. It was just, I just felt like it was Jesus's business. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel so much pride when I watch, you know, y'all in action, and then see the actual material connection and impact it has on families. You know, that this is, I think it could quite honestly be the most important work that we do.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing work. It really, and selfishly, you know, I am so proud of what we do, and that I am a member of Chapelwood, because I'm at CIS functions all the time where everyone's talking about Chapelwood, and I think, oh, you know, I'm a member. But it, you know, it's really when I started with CIS, I'm a social worker, and I was on two high school campuses in HISD, and always so jealous because we didn't get Chapelwood's help. And I always thought, I'm sure if I ask, but I thought no. But it's awesome, the work that is done in our partnership between the two of us.
It's beautiful.
It makes a difference in people's lives.
Yeah, I get these amazing. Betty Ann's great because she'll send me this thing, and it was this was from a while back, actually, from a couple of years ago, and it was a story of a father and son. And I think he was blind, and so it was from the CIS project manager at Ridgecrest, and they were trying to work with his family to help him out.
Yeah,
and so they got the number, Betty Ann's calling, she can't get in touch with them. She's like, we're trying to get, you know, a pair of these homeless, you know, with men and a family, one child, bring them in housing, but phone issues, I couldn't get in touch with them. Well, the phone had expired because they couldn't pay the bill.
Mm-hmm.
And so they couldn't catch up with them, whatever else. And so she said they went to the store to buy a mango, because all they could afford was one mango between all of them.
Mm.
And the CIS case manager happened to be in the store when they came in to buy the mango.
Just happened.
Oh,
just happened. And so everything kind of worked out. They kind of helped the family. We're able to. Mm-hmm. I was thinking about that as y'all were talking. That's why I was looking up that story. There's so many stories like that.
Yeah.
I mean, Betty Ann's great to send us, like, mm-hmm. how much rent's paid for people for the years and sort of stopgap. And people don't know, but like during COVID particularly, there was a rent freeze for a while. But when that was released, and even after Harvey, I mean, you have families that have been in deep, dire situations. Yeah. So
there was a lot of fear during that time.
Oh yeah.
Of folks that were just living, not even paycheck to paycheck. They couldn't make it, you know, and they were assured that they weren't going to get evicted. They just didn't know if that was going to pile up on them and they were going to owe that sum at the back end. And to watch like the Chapel would step into the gap in that and CIS make that connection was just...
Well, I think people don't understand, too, when you're looking at social or income disparities, when we talk about things like that, people are like, I don't know what that means. You know, if you have a salaried job and they tell you to stay home because of COVID, you're still getting paid.
Right.
But when you're talking about people who are working wage jobs,
pushing
a lawnmower or cleaning a hotel or whatever it is they're doing, now they're saying you can't work. Well, they're not getting paid.
Yeah. Mm-mm.
And so there's a huge disparity between wage jobs and salary jobs. So a lot of people sort of at that salaried position, or if you have wealth or whatever it is, you're like, hey, you know, COVID's like a little vacation. This is nice. Whereas other people are like, we don't have...
Think
about the food pantry. And the work we did during COVID with the food pantry and became like one of the largest distribution sites for the Houston Food Bank Network. But that was working with... There was a federal kind of support grant during that period of time when there that were...
Well, it's still being... the federal government is still the one supporting the Houston Food Bank. The Houston Food Bank still isn't charging any agency fees for us, even to this day. So, you know, as long as we have the volunteers, we can hand out the food that we're handing out. So it's... that's a great need as well. Again, we do share your holidays, and CIS is the one that has to come up with all those names and submit those all, you know, in to us so that we can give away. It's in December and we're giving away, 500, Christmas meals, about 42 pounds of food for, each family that shows up. And so, we get those names, through CIS. We can't do that by ourselves. So, each of our programs where Chapelwood wants to serve the community, the way to do it is through CIS.
That's great.
It really is community working together.
It is. It is.
Partnerships. And Spring Branch Independent School District has been really good about all these partnerships working together.
Yeah, that's right.
Because not every school district would allow communities and schools to have a caseworker or a social worker or someone.
Right. And to bring in partners. That's another thing. We love to bring in partners onto the campus to help us. And not all school districts do that.
And they've been very friendly with churches. You know, they have some limitations because of public education, when you work with churches or religious organizations. And I actually respect that, because what I don't want is some other religion or some other entity to go in and proselytize kids. So it's the same rules should apply to us. But for us, when we think about sharing the gospel of Jesus,
the hands and feet,
if you look in the gospel, if you look in the New Testament, Jesus wasn't so much spending all his time preaching for conversion as much as he was feeding people and healing people and spending time with people and making sure they had what they needed to be whole.
Exactly.
And so I think that's as much of proclamation of the gospel as the other part. I think the partnership is really great. So we're coming up, we're in the Christmas season. We're in the December season, at least when this comes out, it's going to be in December.
Okay.
Right? So we're going to be in the season of when Christmas Manna is going to be on the radar. And we want to share this with everyone. I would encourage folks, subscribe to the podcast, like the podcast, but particularly this week around the Christmas Manna and the CIS and the stuff we're talking about, share this podcast with people that you know who may be looking for some opportunity to say, I'd like to support a mission and a ministry. Because here's the way I would look at it is, even if we subscribed all 150 families, we had the money to pay for all 150 families, there still is year-round manna. There still are resources all year. So even if let's say we subscribed all the Christmas and there was more money, so much more money, trust me, these same families and the needs are going to be used year round.
Absolutely.
In addition to just Christmas. And I think that's important. Christmas is a time when we feel really generous and we're really empathetic to kids not having presents and that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. But just know January comes and then February, March, and April.
Yeah, that's right.
Exactly.
And there's still needs.
They still need to eat.
Can we put these, can we put the link in the show notes for folks that are listening online and consuming this that
but,
way?
Where, if you go to chapwood.org, is there...
Slash Christmas Manna.
All right. So if you go to chapwood.org/Christmas Manna, we'll have that in the show notes. You can also go to chapwood.org and check out all the serving opportunities, but chapwood.org/Christmas Manna is the way that you can give to. There'll be links there for you to give, to support, to sign up for a family if you'd like to do that. And that's chapwood.org/Christmas Manna. You know what manna is, right? Bread from heaven.
What is it?
Well, that's what it literally means.
Thank you.
What is this?
What is this?
You guys, thanks for coming and just spending a little bit of time, you know, focused on this, which I think this Christmas season, and every Christmas season and all year round, to remember that for those of us who are blessed, I think, you know, we're going to be talking about gratitude this season with Thanksgiving and everything else. There's so many enemies of gratitude, and I think one of them is kind of greed. It's like, there's not going to be enough for me, so we hoard, because we're always scared there won't be enough for me someday.
Right.
And, you know, it's kind of like the parable of the guy built all the silos for the grains, and then that night, you know, he was gone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's like,
yeah.
I think there's a guy I know who's gives and does a lot of wonderful things, and he's like, I don't want to give it to an estate planning or a foundation or leave it behind. I want to see it at work. Mm-hmm. And part of me is like, well, it's kind of selfish that you want to see it work now. But another part of me, it's like, nah, this is the way it's supposed to work.
Yeah,
you're not supposed to take it with you.
That's right.
Anyway, I hope folks will make sure and check that out, Christmas Manna. Well, we have a way we sign off here. We all say our names. I'll start. So we'll go around the table. We always have new people have to explain how we sign off. So I'm John Stevens.
I'm Suzanne Harder.
I'm Matt Russell.
I'm Donna Watkins.
And this is Pod Have Mercy.